A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that time on, he looked for an opportunity to hand Jesus over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house, I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'" The disciples then did as Jesus ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Amen. I say to you, one of you will betray me." Deeply distressed at this, they began to say one after another, "Surely it is not I, Lord." Jesus said in reply, "He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man goes, as is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born." Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply, "Surely not I, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "You have said so." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. All right. I'm going to take a little quiz with you this morning. Make sure you're all awake this afternoon. This involves American history. It involves Old Testament history. And then obviously a New Testament history, okay. What Benedict Arnold, Absalom, and Judas have all in common? Okay, for a minute. I gotta ask you guys, I wanna know about your American history. Do you know Benedict Arnold? Well, gosh, I don't know. I don't know what to say. Yes, who was Benedict Arnold? He was a traitor. I couldn't hear you. Okay. He was a traitor. Anybody know what he did? I mean, we always hear about Benedict Arnold as a traitor, but you know what he did? He offered the British seizure of the military fortress that we call West Point. And does that ring a bell? That's where people who want to get in the military, they go to West Point to become officers. He offered that to the British in exchange for 10,000 British pounds. And he also became an officer in the British military, and this was during the Revolutionary War. He betrayed his country. What about Absalom? Does that name ring a bell? I know with you, okay? I'm looking at them, but I know you know, all right? Absalom. What did Absalom do? Oh, please. Who was he? Just tell me. He basically raped his sister, all right? I mean, his brother raped his sister. Absalom then wants to get back at the guy. All right, ends up killing his brother. But what else does he do? Well, he ran away, but what he really did, is that King David is in his palace, and Absalom is down where all the people are. And basically what he made the people do is, you know, he said, you know, David doesn't care about you. My dad just doesn't care about you, people. I care about you. I want to give you justice. I want to be, you know, the good guy for you. You can come to me anytime you want. My door is always open. And everybody started loving Absalom and started hating David. And they wanted to make him king. He betrayed his own dad. His own dad. And of course, Judas. Now, he's what? Who did he betray? Thank you. Okay. Yes, Jesus. He betrayed Jesus. Now, you know, you got to ask the question. Why? What would possess Judas to betray Jesus? I mean, it's a question all the time. Anybody have an answer? What? Why? Just tell me. Of the devil? Well, yeah, Luke's gospel does tell us that Satan entered into Judas. You know what I find interesting about Judas? You know what his name means? In Hebrew, it means praise the Lord. Judas. Praise the Lord. Well, he did anything but praise the Lord. He was from a village, Kerioth, his last name, Judas Iscariot, means the location. He's the only disciple who was not a Galilean. He's from the southern part of Israel, the southern part of Judah. So he had a special place among the 12. We're told in the whole life of Jesus that Judas was there. Judas saw all the miracles. Judas, in fact, was sent out and to preach the gospel and heal sick people. Judas was all part of that ministry with Jesus. But what in the world would motivate Judas to betray Jesus? It's an open question in Scripture. We aren't really given it, but there have been some theories. First of all, you heard this sometime this week, Monday or Tuesday. Judas was in charge of the money bag for the disciples. He was like the treasurer, okay? And he was what? We're told he was helping his hand into the treasury. He was actually stealing money from Jesus and the rest of the disciples. So maybe he was discovered. They were afraid that he was going to be exposed, so he wanted to get rid of Jesus. Would that be? Get rid of the problem? Perhaps. Could hold that thought for a minute. Maybe there's another one. Maybe Judas became very disillusioned with Jesus. Maybe, remember when Jesus comes in, he rides into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday? Okay, so he comes in, crowds are hysterical about him. Like, this is the King of Israel, this is the Son of David, he's going to take the throne. The next day, we're told, if you follow the narrative of Holy Week, what happens on Holy Monday, he comes into the temple and throws out the money changers and those who are buying and selling. Oh my gosh, this is the moment Jesus is displaying that he is king. But what happens? Nothing. You know, I mean, Tuesday, he gets really upset. Tuesday is called the Day of Rebukes because if you follow in the history of Holy Week, Tuesday is when Jesus really excoriates the chief priests, the Pharisees, the scribes. Woe to you! And he goes through all those. You shouldn't alienate all these people. Today, in Scripture, if you follow the narrative of Holy Week, today is a day of quietness for Jesus. We're not told what he did on Wednesday. Traditionally, it has been called Spy Wednesday. Spies were sent out. People were trying to find out where Jesus was. The chief priests and others, they wanted to know. Jesus would seclude himself in Bethany. He'd get out of town. So they needed somebody who could figure out where Jesus was. So in Judas's mind, maybe like, Jesus, you're not doing what you should be doing. Seize power. But he didn't. So maybe in a stroke of wanting to force Jesus' hand, what if I lead people to Jesus? I'm going to put Jesus in a compromising position, and then he is going to have to act. He's going to, Judas knew about the power of Jesus. He escaped bad situations before. What if I force him to really show his power? Gosh, does that sound familiar? Remember in the beginning of Jesus' ministry? Jesus is tempted by the devil. Remember one of the temptations of the devil? The devil takes him up to a high mountain and says what? Everything is yours if you fall down and worship me. Maybe Judas, in a one way, was also part of that temptation of saying, Jesus, you now act now. But he didn't. He didn't act. Jesus didn't. He's not doing anything. What makes me think sometimes there might be some shred of truth to that is because of what I'm going to read this to you. It says, when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? Like, who cares? See to it yourselves. And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed. He went and hanged himself. Wow. So, you know, the only quote that we have of Judas in the entire Bible is, what will you give me? Think about that. What will you give me? Then Judas gets the money, 30 pieces of silver, which would buy a slave. You could buy a slave in that time. When they had slavery, they could buy a slave. So that was the price of a slave. Judas, why would you do this? He obviously knew Jesus was innocent because Jesus didn't do anything. And now all this remorse and regret comes upon him. Whatever his motivation was, he wanted this blood money away from him. He wanted to give it back. Got to ask all of you, have you ever done things that you wish you could take back? Huh? Oh my gosh, how many times I wish I could do that. We all do. We can all be filled with remorse and with regret, like Judas did, for whatever motivation. But what Judas didn't see were the eyes of Jesus. His heart was so hardened because he turned inside of himself. He became so filled with darkness. He didn't see any hope. None. I mean, Jesus even said at the table, remember, this, it would have been better that this man hadn't been born. Maybe all those words come crashing down upon Judas. Have you ever known some friends, maybe even yourself, where you get so full of despair, you don't even know how you're going to get out of it? You've been caught in a lie and a lie and another lie and another lie and this and that, and before you know it, you don't even know how to get out. because you've created this maze of your own making, and there seems to be no exit. What's really sad today is this epidemic of people committing suicide, just like Judas did. It's an uncomfortable subject, but it's really true. A lot of youth, a lot of adults, because they have no hope anymore. Like Judas, they throw the money. They wish it could be over with, but they can't get it over with. And they feel the only way to do it is what? Kill myself. The saddest part of this story is as the very time that Judas, he killed himself by hanging himself on a tree. Wherever exactly that was, it probably wasn't very far from another tree that somebody else was hanging on. And it was Jesus. He was hanging on the wood of that cross for the sins of the whole world except Judas? No! Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the entire world. But Judas didn't want to see Jesus anymore in those eyes because he only looked inward. That's the tragedy of Judas. The Apostle Paul would tell us there's two kinds of regrets we can have in life. One regret is a worldly regret, and Judas would be an example of it. He did really some bad stuff. Really bad. All right. Like sometimes we can do some really bad stuff. And we can be really sad about it and wish we could undo it and throw it away. And we can't. Paul says that kind of regret only leads to more despair and to death. But then he says there's another kind of regret. Another kind of guilt. And this is what we call godly guilt. It's a guilt that we remember that even though I've blown it, that if I can go to Jesus, like the woman who was going to be stoned to death, and everybody wanted her done away with. But there was one man there who looked into her eyes and she into his, and she found forgiveness. So where do we always look? If we look inside of ourselves, we're going to end up like Judas. But if we look to Jesus, who hangs on that cross and who offers us that chalice of life, no matter how bad or how shameful or how guilt-ridden we can be, and it can happen, we know that Jesus forgives me. All I need to do is confess and receive it. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you sent your Son for our sins. How often we can be like Judas. We can accompany Jesus. We can know all about Jesus. And yet, we can turn away from Jesus. In the little things that we do, and sometimes in the terrible big things we do. Lord, you never give up on us. Help us never give up on you. And that may this Holy Week, and may your words so enrich our lives, that we may increasingly reflect your love through how we look out through our eyes. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.